Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Kingdom citizens. This is Katrina with Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad to have you on this evening. How are you today? I hope you had a great day today. Mine was a little busy, but you know what? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We got a great, great show for you tonight, but you know how we always do. Let's open up with the word of prayer. Father God, we thank you and we honor you for another beautiful day that you have allowed us to be a part of. God, we first of all ask you to please forgive us if there was anything that we said or did that was not pleasing in your sight. God, we just want to continue to be used by you and be an example of you on the earth. So God, we ask you and we bless you to be a part of this interview this evening, and we ask you to bless our listeners also, God, because we know that you know, these are trying times, God, and we are remembering 9/11 as well, 18 years ago, God, and continue to bless those that were affected and just bless the country as a whole. So, God, we just honor you, we love you, and we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, guys, I am so excited. We have a great, great show for you tonight. We are going to have Kimberly McCauley. She is the host and founder of this wonderful show called Single in Christ. And she was nominated for a Gospel Image Award for her podcast. And I just left her site, so I've got so many questions to ask her. She has had her heart broken in pieces and crushed and stepped on by men, family, and friends. But now she is devoted to teaching women how to heal, to be complete, and to be whole within themselves. So without further ado, we're going to invite this wonderful woman of God on the air. Kimberly, are you on with us?
I am.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. I am so excited to have you on. I just want to let you know that you are the first guest that I have had on to talk about being a Christian and being single. Most of the time I've had, you know, married couples on and, you know, talk about that ministry and couples ministry, but I've never had anyone to come on and talk about you know, being single and being a Christian. So I am really, really excited, and I know my listeners are excited as well to have you on this evening.
And I'm excited.
Well, great, great, great. So let's dig right in. I just got off your website, and I love the blogs, and I love, you know, your transparency in talking about being single, and being a woman, and also being a believer in Christ. So kind of tell us, you know, how did this journey start for you? Kind of give us a little bit of background about this.
Yeah, sure. About, I guess, 5 years ago now, I was kind of had gone through a breakup, and I was with the person for 5 years. So I was just kind of distraught, distressed, heartbroken, you know, all those things after a relationship ends. And I was just seeking God because I didn't know where else to go. And I started writing down all my prayers. Like he told me to, you know, write down your prayers, write down your thoughts and your feelings. And so I did that. And after a while, I felt like I needed, you know, a little more help. So I went to a therapist, and she encouraged me to journal even more, not just my prayers, but just write down everything I was feeling. And it kind of just turned into a prayer journal, a dream journal, you know, everything I was going through, everything I was feeling. And I would always, you know, express these to God. And so I continued that. I stopped therapy in about 2015, and I continued journaling. And then around 2017, God was like, I want you to share all this. And I was like, okay. And I was like, how? And then I came up with the idea to do a blog. And then I realized that a lot of my journaling was about, you know, being the pressures of being a Christian, the pressures of being, you know, a single person who believes, and how it impacts my dating life and how it impacts my just life in general. So I just wanted to start something that would encourage other women and other single Christians, really, that they're not alone, because I looked at the landscape and I saw a lot of married couples, you know, ministering to singles. Mm-hmm. And that's great. You know, like we aspire, those of us who desire marriage, you know, we aspire to be married, and it's good to learn lessons. But some of these couples haven't been single in a while, especially in today's age. So I just thought, well, here's a space for me to minister and to encourage other single people who are like me, who desire marriage, but, you know, just haven't found that person yet or haven't been found yet. And so just coming from a single's perspective of how to live holy, how to, you know, you can still be righteous and have fun and date and all these other things. And so that's how I started Single in Christ.
Wow. So how did your family and friends, because I know you from Parkway. I kind of watched you grow up in that, you know, in that environment and in that church. And so now to see you evolve into this, you know, this beautiful, you know, woman, and, you know, being able to be transparent like you are. How did your family and friends kind of feel about you when you started, you know, doing the blogging?
Well, my friends were supportive because I talked to them, you know, I was asking them to pray for me, and I was like making sure I really heard from God, because I was like, you want me to do what? But my parents were, and family, they were a little apprehensive. Because, you know, some of the stuff involved them, some of the stuff involved people they know. And so they were just a little bit apprehensive. So I wrote some stuff and I let them read it. And then after that, they were comfortable with me doing it. But, I mean, I was going to do it anyway. But I just wanted to, you know, to allay their fears. Like, they didn't have anything to worry about. Like, you know, I'm not going to disparage anybody or or make anybody look bad. So I have a saying that I protect the innocent, but, you know, it's just how I'm feeling or how I felt at that particular point in my life. And I don't know any other way to share it other than just how I was feeling. And that's how I talked to God, you know, like I'm honest with him, like, well, you know, God, I'm feeling exactly this way. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm whatever. And so that's how it came out.
Oh, wow. I love it. So I want to go back, because earlier today I had got this feed across my phone, and it talked about this, and I went live with it today. It talked about this young Christian pastor in California, 30 years old, that committed suicide yesterday. And, it really kind of hit the core of my being today, because, you know, we're hearing about it more and more, And it just was something that I really, really needed to get off my chest. One of the things that I heard, I listened to one of his YouTube videos today, and one of the things that he talked about was going and getting help. You know, that has always been, I mean, this was a Caucasian young man, but even in the Black community, that getting help, going to a psychiatrist or a therapist, or whatever, has always been a stigma, and especially if you're a Christian, because the first thing people mm-hmm. say is, you know, you're a believer. You know, God will, he'll deliver you. And yes, God will do that, because it was already finished on the cross. All that mm-hmm. we've done, all that we've been through has been done and finished on the cross. But God also gave us people in place to help us in the earth when we still are struggling in certain areas. And we're not perfected. Even when we come to Christ and we are believers, we still are in a human body. You know, we're just having we're a spiritual being having a human experience. So we still mm-hmm. have to deal with the day-to-day issues that go along with families and work and, you know, jobs and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I say all that to say, talk about you going to get the help that you needed in order to allow yourself to be free and to function.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, you know, as a Christian, and even as a, you know, in the Black community, it is very frowned upon to go to therapy. And I even had, you know, when I was expressing my desire to go, I had some people like, but you're not crazy, you know, like, just pray about it. And so, you know, that did discourage me a little bit. But because I am a Christian, I went and talked to my pastor, of course, and he actually advised me to go to therapy, and not just a therapist, but a Christian therapist, you know, who's, you know, believing in the faith and can not only give you practical tips and, you know, mental health tools and things to help you cope, but also it make it scriptural based. So that's who I went to. I went to a Christian therapist, and who that person gave me tools and tips in order to cope, and scriptures. And so, you know, we would pray during our sessions, and that's how she encouraged me to start writing more about my feelings and not just, you know, praying about it, because I found myself even in prayer not really going to God in truth, in my honesty, mm-hmm. you know, not doing, you know, because I didn't want to seem crazy or like it's not that bad. But in reality, it is that bad. I was on the verge of depression. She said I had was suffering from extreme low mood, so I had to, you know, get this out. And going to that objective third party, you know, that's not a family member, that's not a friend who will just say, oh, just pray about it, oh, are you okay, or, you know, who'll just mm-hmm. pacify and kind of smooth over it, because they're not really equipped or they don't really know how to deal with those types of feelings. And I do say, yes, God delivers, and he delivered me by sending me to therapy. He set me free by putting that notion in me to go to therapy and talk this out to somebody who knows him and who knows how to, you know, teach people tools. And the lady taught me tools on how to cope. And I learned things that, yes, they're Bible-based, but I just wasn't getting it going to church. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Or just praying on my own. And, you know, even if you're in that dark place, which I was in a dark place. I'm not saying that everybody who goes to therapy is in a dark place, but I was in a dark place, and my mind was clouded. So even though I was praying and even though I was reading the Bible, it wasn't penetrating like it should have, because my mind was so far into that dark place. So I needed somebody to help bring me out. And I believe God sent me to that therapist. And because of that journey, because of that, those therapy sessions, I was able to write it out. I was able to cry it out. I was able to pray it out. And I was able to get closer to God. And I was able to be more vulnerable and be more honest and be more transparent. And that's how all this started. And so I'm a strong advocate for mental health. I'm a strong advocate for therapy, especially for Black Christians, because the advice we always get is pray about it. And yes, pray about it. And yes, go to a therapist.
Yes. And I'm so glad, you know, that just is confirmation for me today, based on, you know, just what, you know, I experienced and what I heard about this young man. You, and even for myself, I had a cousin years ago, young man that, you know, we thought had, you know, everything going for him and didn't know the demons that were, you know, really eating away at him. And he committed suicide, and our family brought in a therapist for our age group because we just couldn't understand. We all thought, you know, we were cousins, you know, we were close. He was an only child, you know, he was always with us, but we never knew what was really going on with him. And so with that, just being able to voice, you know, what we didn't understand, and we had a Christian therapist as well to come in and to explain to us. But I really appreciate you, you know, being open and vulnerable enough to talk about that. One of the great things that I love, love, love about your blogs is your transparency. And so I just got through reading Dusty Man Trap. So for our listeners, guys, you have got to go on to Kimberly's website. It's singleinchrist.org, and she has some really, really, really great blogs and just emptying up about, you know, things about being single in Christ. But talk about Dusty Man Trap. I loved that blog.
Yeah, Well, I call men who aren't, I would call them, I don't know how to say it, men who aren't, I guess, up to par or who aren't, you know, doing up to standard. I call them dusties, dusty crusties sometimes. But my latest blog about how in the early summer I almost got tricked by, one of these men, and he, you know, talked good, he looked good, you know, on paper and on the phone, and then in person, he just wasn't up to snuff. You know, I found out, you know, when we first started talking, I think I listed in the blog that I have, you know, some criteria for a first date, like you have to be a Christian, you have to have your own place, your own car, have a job, and preferably no more than one child. And I found out that he didn't have any of that. And, you know, and it's just a testament to how people can put on a good front. But, you know, when you start looking at their fruit, they can't, there's nothing there. So that's why I always like to look at people's fruit and look at their walk, because, you know, people can say anything and people can, you know, put on a little front for a little while. But after a while, the true person comes out. And so I was just saying how this guy had all of it up front and, you know, basically lies, and, you know, come to find out he really didn't have a job and that he really didn't have a place to stay. He was going in between family members' houses and he didn't have a car. He always had an excuse of this car's in the shop, or he lost his wallet and lost his debit card so he couldn't put gas, and, you know, all these excuses. And that, you know, after a while you just be like, this doesn't add up. Like, why are you always at your cousin's house? Why are you never home? Why you always get these big wads of cash when we go out? You know, like, it's not adding up. And come to find out, he said he had one kid, he had two kids. And, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff, and how I almost fell for it, because I was like, well, maybe I'm meant to help him, or maybe I'm supposed to, you know, help him through, or, you know, maybe I'm meant to minister. And I was like, nope, nope, not me. I believe that if God sends me a relationship, I will know, or when God sends me a relationship, it'll pull me closer to him, not drag me further away. And I felt like this one was dragging me further away. And I was like, plus he lied, and plus he don't got none of my requirements. Why am I dating him? And so, yeah. And then I cut it off after two dates. And I don't know why I went on two dates. I knew after the first one, but I don't know why I went on the second one.
Talk about that, because I want the singles to hear this. Talk about those red flags. Because sometimes we'll push those red flags. We'll be like, okay, you know, I saw the first red flag, you know, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. And even for men, they'll do the same thing, because your ministry is just not about women. It's about men that are single and Christians as well. But talk about those red flags.
Well, some red flags are, one, they're not a Christian, or you don't really see their fruit. God says that people will recognize us by our fruit, right? So if you're not seeing their fruit, if they're not talking the way, not that a Christian should, but if they're always, cussing or, just doing different things that you know that somebody rooted in God just wouldn't do, like somebody really rooted in God wouldn't do, then that's a red flag. Stories just not lining up. just like, well, you said this, but now you're saying this. That's another red flag, a liar or something, And I always think there are some certain circumstances. Like, I'm not against anybody going through a tough situation, but you can't lie about it. That's a red flag. And I think we ignore it because we like the person, or we think they're cute, or we think maybe God is saying, hey, minister to this person, when really he might have told you to minister to that person, but that doesn't involve a romantic relationship. Or you think you can build them up when they're not. Another red flag is like them never doing what they say they're going to do, or them having all these dreams and aspirations, but there's no follow through. There's just potential, but there's no actual realization. There's no manifestation of the potential. And it all, again, is based on their walk. It's based on their fruit. You will see from their actions if what they're saying is really what they're doing. And I think we ignore it just because they look good, they smell good, they make us feel good, all these things that really we can't base a relationship on because God isn't there in it. I mean, he didn't ordain it. So we got to make sure that we're not being led by our feelings and emotions, but making sure that we are being sober-minded and being vigilant and being logical, even when it comes to love. And I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm the testament to it. Like, I almost fell into a dusty man trap, but I didn't. Thank God. Thank God I realized it, and thank God that even though I did mess up, or that I did continue talking to him longer than I should have, even when God was like, clearly you need to cut this person off, and even though I was disobedient in that, because I went on a second date with him, but I'm glad that God, he's a forgiving God. He offers grace and mercy, and, even when I mess up, he's still there to redeem me and forgive me, and that I can move forward without condemnation because I know he's for me. And even when I mess up, he still got me.
Amen. And that's the thing. I think a lot of times we get caught up in the condemnation when we all we have to remember that God has already forgiven us. We just got to release it to him and forgive ourselves, because that's a lot of where we hold on to a lot of baggage too. And then women they feel like that when they get a certain age, if they don't have a man or if they're not married, because society has made us think that we have to fall into that white picket fence, got to be married, we got to do this, that, and the other. And that's really not what, I mean, God's plan is for us to be married if that's what he desires for us. But sometimes we try to push ourselves into those situations when we haven't given ourselves enough time to listen to God for him to bring the right person to us. Do you agree?
I agree. We get ahead of God or start to rush, and then we get into these relationships. And I've done it before where you're trying to make it work, but you clearly see that it's not going to work. You, again, ignore all those red flags like, I think the biggest red flag that I have ignored in the past is the tugging of the Holy Spirit. Like, there's always that thing in the back where you're like, I don't know, but you continue to persist anyway. There's always that tugging, that, that unction, like, there's more, there's something better, there's different, something, and it, but you, I was afraid to let go because I had this thing in front of me, right? And, but whatever God was promising, I couldn't see it. And so, rooted in a lack of trust, rooted in a lack of faith, rooted in doubt, rooted in fear, so all these things that God didn't give us, right? He gave us power and, you know, and love and a sound mind. So that's another thing that I just had to come to grips with. Like, I have to learn to trust God, even when I don't see it, even when I don't know when it's coming, even when I just don't know. That's the whole point of faith. Like, I'm confident that God will deliver his promises, even though I don't know when, even though I can't see it in the natural. And so I just have to make sure that I'm continuing to trust him, even though it's hard, especially, like you said, get all these, you know, this pressure, not only from, you know, the world, which we're not supposed to be conformed and, you know, supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, but you also get pressure from church because, you know, there's the single ministries are lacking. You know, there's always a bunch of women, or, you know, the preacher's always talking to married couples because the preacher's been married for 40 years, or, you know, it's like, and so it's like, and then you also get the pressure of, okay, you're single, you're supposed to be, you know, this perfect virginal woman of God, virtuous, and it's like, but, you know, you're painting me as, or you're trying to make me this perfect person. You're putting this pressure on me when I'm not perfect. You know, I'm still growing in grace. I'm still, you know, learning to trust God, and I'm still, and that's why I'm so transparent, because I need people to know that they're not alone in these feelings. Like, but God is still there for us, and God still wants to give us the desires of our heart, but we do have to seek him, and we do have to dwell in him, and we do have to abide in the secret place, and we do have to continue to learn and know him, and in the process, learn to know ourselves and become complete and whole persons, so that when he does send the other person, we won't be dependent on that person for our happiness or dependent on that person for anything other than what God told us, or, you know, our destiny, our legacy, our promise, whatever purpose God has put on the marriage, then we can depend on that, but can't depend on that person for our happiness or our contentment or anything really other than just fulfilling the destiny that God has purposed on our marriage and on our lives together.
Wow, that's incredible. So you started out with, then did you start off with the website and the blogging first? Because now you've jumped on to, you have your own YouTube blog, and your shows are actually on WYTV7?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so when do you actually do your show? It's pre-recorded and then you load it. They load it on to YouTube, or how does that work? Because that is fantastic. I actually got to see a couple of your YouTube shows, and so what prompted you to move from just blogging to now moving to TV?
Well, yeah, it started off as a blog, and the producer at WYTV7 contacted me and said she loved my blog, and she saw, you know, my posts and asked if I was interested in doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. And at first, you know, I never envisioned that. I mean, I wasn't opposed to it. I just thought, you know, I'm going to write my feelings out, write, you know, whatever I was journaling about, and then, you know, that'll be the end of that. And, when she did come to me, I had started thinking, you know, I was like, I need to do something more. Like, I need to put this on video or something. And then when she came to me, I was like, okay, God, I hear you. And so that's how it started. And I started back, I think, in February or March of 2018. Mm-hmm. And, they're pre-recorded, and, you can find it on like my Facebook page. And you can find it on YouTube, and it's also on Spotify. And so, yeah, I just basically take, you know, my journals, my same blog entries, and I just kind of talk about it on the podcast.
That is great. That's great. I love it. I love it. I am so, so proud of you. Now, we've got about a minute to go before the end of the show. And so what would you say to our listening audience that's a single man or woman out here, give them just a little bit of inspiration or just a little bit of some words of, I'm not going to say wisdom, but they're all wisdom, but just give them some encouraging words.
Okay. You're not alone. There are other people out here who are single and who are living for God, who are trying to live as righteous as possible and as holy as possible and still have fun and still date and still pursue the purpose that God has given them. You don't have to feel like there is no place for you, because there is always a place for you. And that's why I created Single in Christ, to basically just let every single person who is a believer know that you are not alone, that there are other people who are out there doing the same thing you are doing, who are living holy and righteous lives, and who want what God has promised them. And if you just hold on a little longer, if you just wait a little more, then I know that I am confident that God will deliver exactly what he has promised you.
Amen, amen. Well, you heard it from Kimberly, guys. Don't forget to go onto her website, singleinchrist.org, if you want to sign up to get on her mailing list. Please do that. Kimberly, we are so proud of you. I just know your parents are really proud of you and your family. So keep doing what you're doing, love. And if we could do anything for you, let us know. Let our listening audience know if they want to get in contact with you to come speak to their singles ministry or whatever. How can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, you can find me at singleinchrist.org. Or I am on Facebook and Instagram as Single in Christ, one word. Yeah, and I'd love to come speak or whatever you want me to do. I'm available.
Amen. Well, we're going to close out this show. Guys, don't forget, next Wednesday we will have Teresa Howell. She is a playwright and an author of That's Church. She's written a series of autobiographies and nonfiction and fiction books talking about church life. Oh, my God. And she said she was a PK kid, so you know she's seen a lot. So please, please, please tune in next week, same time. Kimberly, I always ask my guests to close our show out with a word of prayer, and I would be so honored if you do that for me this evening.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, first of all, thanking you, God, for this day. Thank you, Father God, for the ability to gather and fellowship in your name, Father God. We thank you, Father, for our host, Katrina Reese, Father. We thank you, Father, for endowing her with the idea and the ability to do this podcast so that we are able to talk kingdom, Father God, and just share your message out with people, Father God. We thank you, Father, for the ability to lift your name up so that we can draw all men unto you, Father God. And thank you, Father, for just allowing us one more time to gather and praise your name and worship you, Father God. We thank you for each listener, Father God. We pray that they were blessed, Father God, and that they continue to have a blessed day in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, Kingdom Citizens, it's been another great, great show. Don't forget, next week we will be looking for you to chime in, and we will have this podcast out on Facebook so you guys can listen to it again. So thank you so much. Kimberly, you have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Good night, everybody.